if you are in any way better off than Nebraska, I don't care about your problems. I don't care what they are.
We did have a Rutgers guy calling in lamenting the extension of their 153-year title drought. I think if you invented
don't
the
give
sport
up yet.
And never won at it, you might have.
I like it when basically your national...
They're 3-1. You're not out of this.
I know. This is why this is funny. When you called on the drive home, it's like, I'm depressed now.
But when your program myths are approximating like Serbian nationalism, like back centuries to when we were great. You're like, no, literally, in Rutgers' case, that is close to true.
Sure. They barely beat Boston College and Pimple, and they lost to the team that doesn't offense. But beat Ohio State, and they're right back in it.
That's all.
That would be Dude, really funny, though. Like, right?
Shiano's revenge.
Screamingly funny.
Because, like,
if he's like, yeah, any other like, team, if the whole game plan is like, go ahead.
I was going to say, any other team in the Big Ten could beat Ohio State, and you can sort of, like, if Illinois beat Ohio State, you'd just be like, well, I guess Big Bert just controlled the clock.
It's happened before.
Sure, right. You can it's a narrow path, but you can get there. But Rutgers beating Ohio State.
The juice is loose again.
Yes.
Illinois, it's like, well, they have a trophy and everything. Illinois wanted that turtle real bad. Rutgers is like, we didn't mean to actually invite you to our conference.
Yeah.
Is the show already started?
Rutgers would never shut up if they beat Ohio State. And why should they?
Nor should they.
No, never. Also, Greg Schiano making a game plan specifically tailored to exploit many of the players that he himself had coached is a delightful twist of fate. If he'd gone, yeah, I know that linebacker. He's shit. He can't play. Run around against him. Who recruited that guy? Never mind.
who taught him how to chase a slot receiver?
The other one. The other guy did. Not me.
Players are like 98% of the game, and the proof of that is that Ohio State, until very recently, was still starting a slow 1998 linebacker against slot receivers. Like, for real. Mm-hmm. For real. They had Tuff Borland out there. Like, he was Andy Katzenmoyer.
You can't have Tuff Borland and not play him. His name's Tuff Borland.
You don't have to play him there.
You don't have to play him in the slot.
He's Super Shredder Al Borland. You have to play him.
Yeah, you line him up at fullback.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you bring him in on goal line packages. Yeah. You make sure that he's within
Son,
5
how would
yards.
You like to be a blocking tight end?
I want Mega Al Borland EX running 3 yards straight. I don't want him turning in any direction.
Super Saiyan Al Borland.
You don't want to create the hilarious scenario of I have Tuff Borland lined up against Devontae Smith. Something that sounds like a joke,
sure.
But which happened repeatedly.
Fuck, I forgot about that one.
In a playoff game. Yes. Don't make Roger Sherman demand the creation of a highlight reel of his failures in that game set to That's Tuff over and over again.
They put Wario Al Borland on the Heisman winner.
Mm-hmm. Tuff Borland, that guy's great. He's named Tuff. I guarantee you that was the tipping point, too.
He's not called Agile Borland.
No, he's... What about Fast Borland? Can you go get Fast Borland for us?
Nimble Borland.
Yeah. Okay, that's actually a great name.
The Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me as always on this here program, Ryan Nanny, live from the former football capital, the week 2 football capital of the college football universe, Nashville. Fandy's coming down to earth a little bit, finally learning some humility.
Well, earth is at sea level. Some of it.
Yeah. The Commodores attempted to go more than 10 feet. I do.
The C is at what if we say C is at Earth level? Does that track?
Technically, that's always true.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. But does this
so everything's be- fine.
Yep.
I mean, Nashville is certainly at sea level. We've learned that before.
Do Commodores just generally as a mythical figure, are they like...
You know they're not mythical, right? You know that they're...
No, you gotta see where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
First of all, the band was real.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
The band is very real.
The second time and mythical at the same
Commodore Perry, whose powers were activated by Earth's yellow sun.
Yes. But if they take a Commodore far away from the ocean, do they become weaker and weaker? For instance, Vanderbilt, would they be at their weakest playing in Provo? Would they be at their weakest playing, you know, in Colorado?
That's why they look
State?
So good in Hawaii. Absolutely. Because it's like basically playing in the ocean.
But they beat Colorado State.
Barely. And that was a bad Colorado
rivers.
State team.
I'm sorry.
Rivers.
You said Colorado State. Historically speaking, the bad is not necessary.
What about now?
Oh, God.
Better one or two. But
it is our-
okay.
It is our favorite home field turf, but I'm wondering now that rune might mean something. That rune might have... did we open a portal with our delicious fleece-covered chests? Not as sexy as it sounds.
It's delicious. That really threw me there.
It's so squishy. It's the squishiest sweatshirt.
I think the most inland team that Vandy has played is Kansas State, and Vandy is 2-0, so...
Wow. So is... Maybe it's that... Vandy either plays really well when they're close to the sea because that feels like home, or when they're super far from the sea because they're desperate to get back to the ocean. It's the in-betweens. Tuscaloosa is not close to the ocean, but it's not like the furthest you can get either. It's kind of a weird in-between, and unfortunately a lot of the SEC is the weird in-between.
That's the main problem with Vandy is a lot of it is close to either an ocean or a river, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, once you get them far away, it's kind of like a really angry beached whale. I don't know how whales act on the beach, but...
Explody.
There's that. That does seem like... Explosions are kind of anger, so yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so they need... So in conclusion, Vanderbilt should only play Nebraska or the Bahamas Bowl.
Playing Nebraska as often as possible is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know in Super Mario Odyssey when he goes to Lake Bubblane and he fights that giant octopus with a crown?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And a cape, and like an ermine cape. Is that a Commodore?
It is now. They're mythical creatures, so it can be whatever you want it to be.
There are many interpretations.
I also like that we are the three voices of Ryan Nanny. We are his aspects.
Id, ego, and super ego.
I'm a Unitarian. I think there's only, we're all just one, the same Ryan Nanny. There is no need for all this math.
It's cozy in here.
At one point, by the way, Mr. Commodore Vanderbilt
just charge.
The train is going where it's going.
He said, "I hear what you're saying, but fuck all that shit."
Was named the sexiest mascot
by
men.
Which men?
Well, of course, who else gets to decide?
God.
That's upsetting.
It's about time.
I'm going to write to People's Magazine. People Magazine.
God presents his Maxim.
Are these God's
100.
Sexiest men alive?
Did you make God's Maxim 100?
Can I tell you the man that God thinks is the sexiest man alive? Or dead, but now alive?
85% of these respondents, by the way, were heterosexual males, so that means that dudes were like, yeah, you know who's hot? A rich guy in a uniform. That's not troubling at all.
A guy who looks like he's fighting a war that ended long ago is my idea of
a milkman. Don't make it weird.
I mean, speak for yourself. Also, think about this, that every time you root for Vandy, you're basically just rooting for the Vandy rich guys. That's really what it is.
At any point, if you're rooting for a college football team, by and large, like, what are the exceptions? UAB, you're not
New
rooting.
New Mexico State.
Yeah. Like, you're mostly rooting for rich guys at this point.
Yes, UAB, but not by name.
UAB is run by, bankers.
Yeah,
yeah, but you at least
they're
give
the
them
ones
an avatar.
Nobody wants. They're the bad boy bankers.
They're the cool bankers.
But not the late financial crash rate. Maybe
renegade accountants.
I don't know.
Of New Mexico State. We ain't keeping numbers out in Las Cruces.
God, that's how Charlotte could brand.
You're saying Vanderbilt's whole brand is rich.
No, they actually don't even package it. Like most programs at least go through the rigmarole.
Stadium's sponsored by a bank now, so.
Yeah. At least it's not Acrisure. Acrisure. Oh. Acrisure. I don't even know what that is.
Distillers with you.
Always. Everything comes back to Pitt. Also joining us, Jason Kirk. Yeah, no, we picked that up. That happened.
This is like watching a bad build of a 90s basketball game where it's like, the pass is thrown, 1, 2, 3. The ball is not there, but the shooting motion has started already.
It's like one shining moment. If the ball is tipped.
The ball is tipped.
It's
in
there.
That's really all the song.
Gravity don't work.
The ball is tipped.
You're in space with a xenomorph.
I last week somebody pointed out it took like 29 minutes for all of us to be introduced. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not there yet. He's not there yet.
This is how in-game works.
Yeah. No, we're gonna get there in sub 15 today.
We're not recasting Spencer happen. Either.
I just want to note, I had, because of some internal bleeding earlier this year, I had to do a colonoscopy today, and I want to let full cast readership know that I was told my insides are normal. That is not the standard. The standard is great. I will strive for looking great, but we'll accept normal for now, and we're going to work to get better next week.
Normal, like adequate?
I guess. I have a normal butthole, is what I was told.
All right. What is that? I want to know what the standards are.
You're 45. Have you not gotten one?
I got to schedule one.
Oh, my God. He really is going to die.
You know, Someone said, if you watch the Dr. Dre Super Bowl halftime show and you know all the songs, it's time for your colonoscopy.
I did. It's time.
This might be the most.
That's not an age thing. It's not even an age thing. It's a weird medical secret. They don't want you to know.
Doctors hate it.
Doctors do hate it. Damn.
He's the one doctor I trust.
Let's go to some of the 90s most homophobic rappers to get this in, to get colonoscopies.
Jason, is the rest of your blood where it's supposed to be? How we doing?
I think so, yeah. Right. The main concern today was my butthole, and apparently it's normal. So everything sounds average.
What is that, like
mediocre.
6 and 6?
Yeah.
7 and 5?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Welcome to Jason's Gasparilla Bowl.
But you're making his Gasparilla hole. You are making.
I like that just burst out of you like you couldn't even restrain mid sentence.
Could have been weirder. Don't make me. Could have been so much weirder.
Could have been his tax slayer hole. That's true.
Maybe every hole in this body is a tax slayer hole.
If you know how to work it.
My Poland weed eater hole.
Yeah. The bad boy mower hole.
Rose hole. Yeah,
it's funny. Almost beautiful.
Let's look through the list. There's the Battle Frog Fiesta hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't finish. I was too busy gasping in horror to refer to the rose hole as the granddaddy of them all.
This is where the Little Caesars pizza hole would have made sense.
I think that is the grandzaddy of them all.
Yeah.
Actually, there's also the gozaddy.com hole.
Whoa.
Should we cut this?
No, not at all.
Absolutely not.
It stays in. We're already here.
That's right. It stays
this
in.
This is my first responder hole.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Here it is. Here it is.
I do have an emergency.
I found it. The Tony the Tiger Sun hole.
There we go.
I was going with the Blue Bonnet hole or the Bacardi hole. But
yeah, the Bacardi
hole. The sun
I've been
is,
there.
The again, sun hole is really something.
The sun hole was an Instagram trend like 2 or 3 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, when people were sunning their buttholes.
And their perineums.
Right,
yeah.
Sorry, how could I forget?
To the,
effort, I guess,
to the universal
answer.
And loud dismay of every dermatologist ever, yeah. Who's like, no, some parts of your body are not supposed to get sun.
pretty right. weird that we had a long public health crisis after that. Anyway.
Yeah. Odd. What do you mean had?
Who you got? The Royal Purple Las Vegas hole or the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces hole?
Wow.
The Royal Purple one is the one where they had to remind people tactfully throughout the campaign that the lube was for cars and not people. So I'm going to go with that one.
That's probably the winner.
I'm going to take the Lockheed Martin one because I know it'll end up devastated. So, yeah.
I'm a purist. I just want the Belk hole.
That means it's pleated.
Pure Southern style.
Modern Southern butthole.
Jason, did they just wake you up? And did they just wake you up and say, do you want to hear about your insides? And you go, sure. And they're like, eh.
Wait, you're asleep when this happens?
Meh.
It happened exactly as Spencer, Spencer's.
So they woke you up. They woke you up to just give.
Yeah, they're
you like,
just like.
They woke you up to just give you the like.
To receive right after you wake up.
They just
they're
woke
like,
you up
hey,
to give you the
hey,
Larry
good
David
news.
Like, eh.
Good news. We didn't find any weird stuff. You ready? To, you can leave in a minute. Okay.
There's not even a toy chest or something.
yeah. I didn't get a sticker.
Vampire teeth.
Just put I've been Krogering just right on the middle of the butt. You can rot. You can just like scrub off the K, and then you can just wear it around all day.
I'm a voter.
The peach
with
sticker.
The peach on
just
it. Put the,
just like take a little ballpoint pen and draw an asterisk in the middle of the peach.
Like I said, the people in Gaffney, South Carolina, knew what they were doing when they put up that peach.
Is that ever in doubt?
No, but every time I drive
I mean,
past it.
I understand
it.
How in theory you could be like, oh, it's a peach. But when you're there, you're like, oh, no.
There are parts.
That's too supple to be a fruit.
There are parts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, yeah. It's lewd. It's the lewdest water tower in America.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Folks, it's a big, if you it's have a big country. A more upsetting pornographic water tower than the Gaffney Peach, please sound off in the comments at 704 Soul Cast. Hail to Ra, the sun god.
The voice you are hearing, the voice you are hearing, belongs to Holly Anderson.
Good. Good editor rule there. Reference on first appearance.
Server,
or 50th, please to say.
Well, we're under 29.
It's been 13 minutes of.
Oh, nice. Sub 15.
Nice.
Sub 15.
Jesus. We're getting down. We're getting down towards my mile time. What's up,
Ryan? I wanted to ask, what provoked this? You posted this morning that it was a good day to get into an internet fight with a stranger.
I don't know. That's just what the internet's for at this
nice.
Point.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see like what people like. People will respond to a prompt like that. I guess it's a prompt. It wasn't really supposed to be, but people will just send you like one response I recently got. No one will remember Billy Joel in 30 years.
Excuse you.
Which
what? Was that Spencer?
No,
it would not be me.
This is from Twitter user Cliff Legend. No one will remember Billy Joel in 30 years. Maybe. I don't know. Are we going to fight about that? I guess we could.
I think they will because Olivia Rodrigo sings about him. She's keeping the legacy alive.
I do like that I got a tweet from somebody in Fargo. Eat some Franzen. I tweeted to a local sportscaster that NDSU should stay FCS. I started a fight with a whole town that I live in.
Buddy, I've been in a fight with a whole town that I lived in for like 72 hours. So I sympathize with you.
Yeah.
I don't know how online you were on Saturday, so you might have gotten to miss this particular spectacle.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually did. I think I can actually trace it back to one person who.
Okay.
I don't even remember what started this. Florida did some weird shit thing a couple weeks ago, and I just said this would make it funnier when they beat Tennessee by 28, and people got mad. And I said, okay, when they beat Tennessee by 17, and somebody put it on a message board, because for the first time in my long, long history of showing my ass on the internet, my own people think I went to Florida.
That did.
Oh,
happen.
did they freezing cold takes you?
Oh,
even
no,
though it wasn't.
More,
even
it was,
though it wasn't.
This
really
was even
really
before, no, before the game.
Yeah, no. This was a purely homegrown effort. It was exhausting and beautiful at the same time. And also, there were a bunch of people who were like, "I'm so sorry you're going through this." I'm like, "You don't understand. I am these people. I just don't do this on the internet. I do it in real life." I am exactly like those people, and I'm not getting anything that I have not dished out over the years. I deserve that fully.
I'm not
but
saying
it was
you're
extremely funny.
Not saying it's you're making me stronger or weaker. I'm just saying this is nutrition.
No, you're not making me stronger. I'm just like dialogue.
You are the criminal who's been double crossed by who you thought was your partner, and you're like, well, we're both thieves. So
here's the thing. It's the two things that tripped me up about it were. A, the genuine indignation that I thought Tennessee might lose this game. What in the history of this rivalry or in the last 5 minutes of the game itself might have led me to believe that? Like, this was some great illogical leap. I know you people. Don't act like y'all thought we were going to win this game until it was over. We go to the same churches. And second were the people who were fishing around trying to figure out how they could get me in trouble. Y'all, my mom... My boss, my boss's boss, and my parents' bishop all follow me on Twitter, and this is how I act anyway. What do you think you're going to do to me?
Yeah, you can't get in trouble on Twitter anymore. This is just not a thing.
I can't.
Like, Darren Revelle tried it, but...
I'm not saying I don't deserve it. I'm
tries
just
it
saying,
every day.
Yeah.
Just, who do you think you're going to tell? Everyone knows this is how I am. I'm grown.
I want to give you my favorite random reply that I've gotten delayed. I think if you were going to age, like I think the really most deranged Twitter responses, right, have to like age for like the people who don't respond to a tweet until 48 hours after
Correct.
The tweet.
Yes.
This is
yes.
where I just hit them with the late and stupid and move along.
Right. I like Ryan's implied take that only winners can talk on this podcast.
It's true.
We should be giving Server a lot more
so
time.
It's just, yeah, Server dominates.
Server's the only one.
Server, take the show. It's just you and Holly this week.
There's at least one person.
He could do this, see?
There's at least one person on Twitter who I know started a Reddit account just to talk about how I ruined the show. There's at least one who's like, talk your shit, Holly. And I'm like, what? No, you want more of me? What for? Don't do that. It's
feelings
more
are complicated.
It's more of me, but bad. Y'all think that, no.
But yeah, I agree with you, Spencer, that anything outside of the first day, conservatively, is likely to be just incredibly batshit.
Like, yeah, you need a 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
Well, that is the feature Twitter should... You know how you can start a Twitter poll and you can just sort of say, like, it's open
That's
for
right.
this
That's right. Thread should close.
Yes. It should just say, like, you can't respond to a tweet after 24 hours. You just can't.
Like, automated?
Yes. They should all just be locked after that. Because the nature of Twitter is, like, we've all moved on. I can't even remember what you're talking to me about.
Or I would love a feature that makes it so... tweets after a certain number of hours just go away and they can't be quote tweeted, so I'm not leaving a bunch of dead links around.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't even like tweeting during sports anymore because, like, you know, I just wait till games are over before I say whatever I was going to say. Not because I don't want to be like called out or anything. It just, I don't like having a feed full of like, here's my opinion on the third quarter.
It's, oh, I wait till games
now
are
it's
over
posted
to watch
in the
games.
Permanent archive for all time.
You don't even have to tweet an opinion. You can just say a thing that happened. And if you didn't phrase it, if you didn't, like, very carefully phrase it to say, this happened at this point in time, somebody will come at you and be like, didn't throw a pick there, dipshit. You're like, yeah, that's not what I was talking about. That was a week ago.
He didn't hit a pass all day. He was 3 for 22.
This is where I'm mostly not online on Saturdays. I'm having these conversations in, like, smaller networks that are not posted for public content. Because also, who gives a shit if you thought it was going to be a pass play and it's not? There's no virtue in this whatsoever. You're boring.
No, you can win. Solution. Someone will win Twitter. You just have to keep fighting.
It will be me. It'll be me. I've developed my brain will end up perfectly smooth and callous.
It'll be me. They're just feeding me.
I'm only getting stronger.
They fed the beast.
I think all replies that are older than 24 hours should automatically be in the dumb SpongeBob font. They should just convert to little letter, big letter, right?
If I could have a button to do that, because it takes me so much time to type that out on the phone. I forgot I had the best response. There's one dude who I know for a fact He works for Hot 104.5 in Knoxville, and I know for a fact that his mom goes to church with my mom. And first of all, you put your real job in your bio, Eric. And second of all, our moms go to church together, dude. What are you doing? Your mom's way meaner than my mom. And if you think I didn't post this directly to your mom's Facebook.
Can I tell you what, man? The meanest mom in any East Tennessee town is a fearsome title.
Is mine.
Is yours. Is it static, or do you think it like moves like the AP poll? Where it's like, this week's meanest mom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying she doesn't have like an impressive streak. But Jesus. Is she locked into that until she dies, or can there
I
be
hope
a meaner
so.
Mom?
I don't want to look around for anything worse.
All right.
I mean, more fearsome. Hi, Mom.
I just think the sport is better when USC is a mean mom. That's just my opinion.
Me mama almost got in Corvallis.
I think USC is best when it's a mom who does academics fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we actually have a mom voicemail that I can't decide if I want to play it because it's very long. But it involves a Miami fan going to the A&M.
Play it.
All right.
Let's do it.
I like this one.
Server, can we play 772? He didn't give his name.
I was at the Miami-Texas A&M game in College Station as a Miami fan. And leaving the game after we lost, now, it was kind of expected. I'm just happy that I traveled to one of these games. We didn't get totally blown out on national stage. Everyone was so nice. I had a guy come up to me and say, hey, y'all, have a safe trip home. And I was ready to come at him because I immediately thought, talking shit, like, oh, hey, have a nice trip home. Like, wait, this guy's, like, actually legitimately nice. He showed my family and I how to get to the right shuttle that would take us back to our parking lot. And other people, I've talked to other Miami fans, like, oh my gosh, everyone was so nice. I can't believe how nice everyone was and so accommodating. Oh my gosh, just the greatest people in the world. And then I started to think, are we the only assholes? Are Miami Hurricanes fans the only total assholes that will jump into a visiting team's face, entire family, and talk crap to their face? Is that us? Are we the only ones doing that? Having a real come to Jesus moment here. There's other ones like us out there, right? Not everyone's super nice.
Mm-mm.
Please tell me.
Yeah, I think
I love
every
the real life. Are we the baddies?
I think every fan base from every place is like generally the same mix of mean and nice, but very different kinds of mean and nice. When Miami mm-hmm. fans are mean, everyone knows it. and when Heartlanders feel nice, they make sure everyone knows it.
There's also like, I don't think whether or not Miami fans are mean or nice has anything to do with the result of the game. Like, I think there are other places where how nice the fans are going to be to you as the visitor depends on what happened. But I think Miami is pretty consistently going to be mean as shit to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not all like this. Yeah.
I also think it's possible, and this is not to offend our beloved caller, I don't know if a Miami fan has, like, an appropriate setting for what nice looks like. Like, this strikes me as a great white shark looking at a bear and being like, well, he's not that rabid. He's not that ravenous at all. He's positively nice.
He's not even in the
water.
He's
a bear underwater at the time.
Compared to
you. He didn't tell me to go drink my own piss once.
I was just saying glub, 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 glub.
Yeah.
He only called me one or two slurs. What a nice
Miami
guy.
Miami is where I found out that for whatever reason, the ratio of homophobic slurs for dudes and ladies is just way out. It's either way out of whack or they just don't know any of the ones for ladies. Because Miami fans will call anyone the F word.
I don't think any of the Florida schools are particularly nice, to my knowledge.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think so at all. Like, I can do this. I think Miami fans.
No, but you're all not nice in completely different ways, which
sure.
is really interesting.
Yeah, no, it's all variations. Florida fans are kind of like cold. Florida State fans are Florida fans who smoke, and Miami fans are loud versions of those two combined. That's it. The only difference is volume or do you smoke? Because I've never seen more adult smoke. Like, all right, the only place I've seen more adult smoking in public than
a state game is like a Chinese bar. Like someplace where people still smoke like it's the 70s.
Sure.
Like hardcore, one in the nostril, one in the ear, one tucked into the hat, one in the mouth, right?
You can still buy Florida State season tickets with Camel Cash. People don't tell you
that. I think USF or UCF fans are also not nice, in mostly just because they are so invested in you agreeing with their notions.
Yeah.
USF fans, I think, are so beaten down by the previous decade or so that it seems kind of nice.
Yeah,
they're just like, you know,
that's probably true.
I don't think I'm sorry, but I root for USF to make a fair sample assessment.
Is it morally wrong to be a mean fan base? Like, do we have an ethical view on this?
Not necessarily.
I hadn't thought about that.
Like, let's put some categories over here: physical violence, slurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking shit to a child, even though Spencer's done that.
Hi, Spencer.
Like
talking shit to the elderly again. Hello, Spencer.
I think the elderly are getting a bit of a pass.
Spencer called her a Walmart person.
She said I was wearing a Walmart shirt and I called her a Walmart person, okay? And you know what that means, by the way? It's not about her as a person who would shop at Walmart. It would be about her as a person representative of the quality of the products at Walmart, because unlike her, I ain't classy.
Here's the thing. When you're mean to an elderly person, just by percentages, it's more likely that you are getting karmic revenge on them for something shitty they've done in their very long life. When you do it to a child, it's like your odds are not so good.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. Some kids just suck.
Kids do just suck, but I don't think Spencer's also sizing them up before he's gator jumping them at the zoo.
And also, the kid who sucks,
Spencer, gator chomped a child at the zoo.
The kid who sucks could be an agent.
You were thinking
about
the time he gator chomped a child at the zoo. I was thinking about the time he sang the Michigan song in the face of a Michigan child.
I did not. I was many rows away.
I think this answers our Miami caller's idea of whether Miami is the only place for me.
You're confusing the story at the Atlanta Zoo.
We talked about this before.
Where I saw two Florida State fans who were pushing a stroller, admittedly, so they couldn't chase me. Or at least one of them had to stay with the baby.
The stroller might have had cigarettes in it.
Yeah, also, I'm sure they were both smokers, so they wouldn't have been able to catch me because as slow as I am.
Just a zoo stroller with a carton of cigarettes sitting.
Yeah, that's it.
He looks just like his father.
Our little baby Marlboro.
We've talked about both of these incidents multiple times on the floor, so we can run tape back and find out just how close you were to this Michigan child.
Don't you say that
in front of Virginia?
With the two Florida State fans, I saw them, and they were both so decked out in Seminole gear. And this was like the day after the Jameis backwards fumble. All right, okay. Which at the moment.
That was the horns down of its time. It's funny to everyone, and it just means that you like college football.
Just a magnificent thing happening to a team that absolutely deserved it, and getting blown out by, of all teams, the Oregon Ducks. I saw them, and I yelled, "Go Ducks!" at them as we passed, and immediately they started sounding like South Park people, which was awesome. Like they're like, rub, 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 rub.
No titles, no championships. Rub, rub,
rub. Thinking I was a Ducks fan. Glorious.
I mean, looking at you, I could buy it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, like, obviously, I look like an Oregon fan.
Hey, in that vein, Cerber, can we play a very quick 901 Joe in Memphis?
Hi, this is Joe. I'm a UF alum living in Memphis, but the majority of my family hails from Skullbone, Tennessee. Most of them are avid UT fans, despite having not gone to college. I think there's a correlation there. So for the better part of the past two decades, I've had my way with them after this game.
Ew.
However, my 87-year-old grandfather decided to call me up yesterday after the Tennessee-Florida game, and he said, "How about them Vols?" And of course, I promptly reminded him that the next time he'll see the Vols win a game against the Gators will be in hell for him. He'll be dead. Go Gators.
Fuck!
Go Gators,
yeah.
baby!
Yeah. Yeah, Miami's not the only mean fan base.
See, the only difference, smoking and volume. That's it. He said it quietly.
I think is consistently across all Floridian disciplines.
Can I tell you what I have found is the most disarming thing you can do when your team loses a rivalry game and the other team tries to make you feel feelings about it? Just turn around and be like, oh yeah, you guys played great. You really deserve that win. Just immediately, like, return a compliment, and it will be, like, met with, like, You're supposed to be crying online right now, you weak bitch.
I can't make myself do that. I'm a bad person. I can't make myself do that.
It's really good, because
I stick directly to the four more onside kicks, and we're back in this thing.
Yeah. No, it's my favorite. My brother-in-law is a Tennessee fan. He was texting me during the game. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I was just like, yeah, man. You know, would have been fun if Florida had hit that last one, but Tennessee deserved to win it. Not a big deal. And yeah. He just, like, stopped texting me. It's like, it's not fun. There's no
way. What Ryan's saying is this method appeals to bad people. This is for bad people to do.
The attitude that I like to adopt is this. There's a family legend about my cousin Anthony getting up to some shit, and my grandfather chasing him out of the house and then around the house multiple times, and Anthony eventually getting up enough speed in Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner fashion that he is able to, like, skitter up either a drain pipe or a trellis or something. He gets on the porch roof, and Grandpa comes around the front, and I assume he's, like, wearing a wife beater and suspenders, because this is just how I always picture him. But he's out in the front yard. He's wheezing. And he's coughing. He looks up at Anthony, and he shakes his hand. He says, "See how close you come to getting it." And I like this attitude in a loss. It has always served me beautifully. I cannot relate to it at the moment because we won.
Because Tennessee's undefeated, and there's no reason to think that will change.
So now I immediately have a new problem.
That was so slick and evil, Ryan.
That doesn't work. That bounces right off me. Do you know what sticks directly in my craw?
What?
Specifically between 7 and 8 p.m. on Monday nights on the SEC Network. Is you and Richard pivoting immediately to Tennessee's going to get Bama. This is upsetting to me, and I wish you would stop it.
I'm going to violate a rule and just say that it's actually what I sincerely believe.
Jesus wept. Okay. Yes. All right.
No,
you believed a lot of stupid things.
Right? I know. That's fine. I just want to go ahead. Right. I'm going to stand on stupid. Stupid. I will ride with stupid. Stupid got me this far.
Triple H's going to stand for Hendon Hooker Heisman.
Before. And I recognize that you have no power to jinx. You have no power to jinx the my game. Team. But just hearing it makes me uncomfortable. Like, the gods will see that I am listening to this, and they will strike me.
How would that theme be, Jason? That's all about the game, how you play it. Man. It'd be banjo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this. Somebody go ahead and work up that Triple H.
He's going to come out to Boat Motorhead.
Look, we haven't updated it in a while, and I owe it to you, Holly, but, like, Tennessee is still your playoff
pick. Oh, fuck, I forgot about that because we didn't do it last week.
And it is by far your strongest. Oh, I mean, Kansas State did beat Oklahoma, so they're for you too. But, like, it is, I think, the only good playoff pick remaining at this
There's
point.
No shame in being correct.
No.
No, this is the thing that I think people don't understand. Much like Spencer, I believe at this point that we could still received news that Florida has received an untimed down from the officials. What time is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's Tuesday. It's at 10:27.
It's almost 2 o'clock Central on Tuesday, yes.
Any moment. Because, again, look at the history that we were talking about right before the game. I come by this honestly. I don't like feeling this way. This is just how it is.
Billy Napier will get a 15-yard penalty and have to be held back by 23 get-back
coaches.
So what
the fuck was he doing?
He must be stronger than he looks.
Yeah, there were like three or four. The initial get-back guy was taller and large. Than him, and he could not contain him.
Is the feeling, or was the feeling, I guess, that this is a snake-bitten game for Tennessee? That, like, yes. Tennessee yes. just can't get out of its own way. Like, that has not been my impression of this rivalry over the last 15 years. Like, that to me much more describes what the Kentucky-Florida game was for, like, a five-year stretch, where it was like Kentucky always gets super close, and then some bullshit happens, like delay of game doesn't get called on Florida, or they just throw a forward pass five, whatever.
Oh, see, I like those games. I like those games better. I would like, we were talking about the Georgia win a couple years ago. Winning a game is great. Stealing a game is even better.
Yes.
In terms of feelings.
That's true.
It's wonderful. But no, I'm not going into, for example, the LSU game like I went into the Florida game. Florida is a special degree of snake bitude. Like, I am more, this is not a football statement. This is an emotional truth statement, and we traffic in emotional truths on this podcast. I am more scared of South Carolina and Kentucky than I am of playing LSU and Bama.
Because
I feel like I have a better idea what to expect out of those games than I do out of those other two.
I'm not... Kentucky, I agree with.
Not Bama. Bama's weird. South Carolina and Kentucky, I am more scared of than, let's say, LSU and Georgia. Because I think I know how those are going to go.
Okay.
But South Carolina and Kentucky tends to produce some weird shit. And it doesn't help that those games are usually played around Halloween.
Yeah, the Kentucky game is 2 days before Halloween. And
yeah, but
right,
at least it's
right
not in
now,
Lexington. It's not in Lexington.
No, it's not. And right now, it would be number 7 versus number 8.
That freaked me out on Kentucky's behalf, too. Mm-hmm. Seeing them in the top 10, I'm like, oh, no.
Dude.
Wait, hang on. Like, let's play a voicemail, because do you know who gets me right now? Serber, play 984. Play Beck from North Carolina.
Hi, this is Zach from North Carolina. I just thought I ran some stats from Iowa that I just thought would be very interesting for everyone. Currently, Iowa has 1,364 point yards and 930 total yards of offense. They are averaging more point yards per game than offensive yards. The five other teams in FBS that is doing that, Louisiana Monroe, FIU, Akron, ODU, and New Mexico. Also, can we please stop looking at NC State? We all know what's going to happen. They're going to go to Clemson, and somehow, like, the buses will go to the wrong stadium, or a hole will open up as they're running onto the field and swallow half the defense. Please, please just stop looking at them. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
This is the emotion that I want for Tennessee. Stop looking at us. This is why I want them ranked at 23, because to look upon them is to invite the wrath of a perpetually angry God.
That's not what's going to happen to NC State, by the way.
Oh, no, it's not. I think NC State... Well,
cause
the hurricane thing for us... I have a complicated, like, ranking system of superstitions that is kind of hard to explain and not sound like a deranged person, but a night game, game day... ranked teams involved. Like, this is a North Carolina snake bites Clemson game if I've ever seen one.
So if NC State
won
this game...
The hurricane throws things off, though.
If NC State won this game on the road, they would leapfrog to, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, somewhere in that range from 10.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson's 5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next game they have is a home game against Florida State.
See?
And what will happen, what is much more likely to happen to me, is NC State plays a very clean game, a very clean, very successful game against Clemson and wins, and then completely poops the high chair against Florida State.
Yeah, but you won the Textile Bowl, and that's what matters
most.
That is what
matters.
I love that the hands-down biggest game of the week is the motherfucking Textile Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Fancy New York liberals might not know anything about the goddamn Textile Bowl,
y'all,
but that's what
game.
We here in college football world are doing with our time. We're getting amped up for the Textile Bowl.
For
what
clothes
you know
and tablecloths.
I do not
Rayon?
Understand the don't look at us mindset. Like, when people, if you're, okay, your team might lose, the teams lose every game by account, and like that's funny when it happens, and you have been entertained people, so that's good. You have provided entertainment.
It's pure superstition, and I understand, like, conceptually I understand your objection, and I absolutely feel that way when it's teams that aren't mine, but I was born into this fan base. This is just...
I don't know. Most I'm not talking about you. I'm talking, most people are like this, and I don't know. I just don't understand it. It's not about Tennessee.
I'm like, oh, that's stupid. But like when it's people who think their teams are gonna, I like, if I'm giving advice to other people, I am absolutely in the vein of, listen, enjoy the moment. You won. Who cares? You won. This feeling, you know, coast on this feeling. You got that little dopamine hit. That's fantastic. But when it comes to me, it doesn't work on myself. I can't do it. I do appreciate
that Kansas is not embracing this. Kansas is
no. Yes. Look at it.
Behold, all that is Jayhawk.
Yes.
No, exactly.
Tremble before the might of Leslie.
Week four, Panther off.
This is who I want to be. I just like, and maybe after a couple of years of this team, I can get back there. But like I would love to be there, and I'm going to try and put myself in that mindset. But emotionally, I can't wrench myself out of that great yet. We do have a marvelous Kansas fan voicemail. Serber, can you play 541, Alex?
This bird that looks like a moonshine logo demands your fealty. Our mythological bird.
Hello, Fullcast. This is Alex from Points Rest, the rambling Kansas fan from last week. Thank you for the advice. I am currently living in the moment and enjoying every bit of it. And if you had given me the option of being in the top 25 or having Mizzou lose in devastating fashion, I will take Mizzou losing like that every single time. Rock Chalk, screw Mizzou, hail to Rock.
I love it all.
I did not really think about the Kansas angle on the absolutely atrocious Mizzou result from this past weekend.
We got one more. Serber, play 417, Will in Columbia.
Hi, this is Will from Columbia, Missouri. I'm a lifelong Missouri football fan, and we deserve this.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. One more still. I promise last one. 314, Sean in St. Louis.
Folks, this is Sean in St. Louis, and let me tell you, I've been a Mizzou Tigers fan for 20-something years, and I watched every single ridiculous play that happened at the end of that game, and I felt absolutely nothing.
Hell yeah.
It is my great pleasure to inform you that I have ascended. I no longer feel the pain of a Missouri Tigers fan. M-I-Z, baby. I feel nothing.
Welcome.
That's hot.
Man, welcome. Welcome, brother. And the advice that everybody else is giving to enjoy and live and talk their shit is the correct advice. And I am hoping to get there emotionally, but y'all, I'm broken. Everything since 2004 has broken me. It's not my fault.
I think it's fair to recognize Tennessee still has several hurdles ahead of it.
It's not the usual. It's like Tennessee never gets an easy schedule, but as they go, this is not the worst.
Well, I love this. This Mizzou fan is like escaping samsara because of what Auburn did. That's it. I no longer desire anything.
It's on my tongue, but I don't have to swallow it.
What is the case for Mizzou deserves this?
I don't know. That's the mystery.
I don't know. I'm leaving that to him.
Children of an angry
God.
What did Gary Binkle do?
What unfair height did Mizzou reach that they must
losing
now be
to Auburn in the SEC soul. Championship game?
They sold that, their soul for that God's year when heart. They lost to Oklahoma twice. Which
Barry Odom was too beautiful and broke God's heart.
Yeah.
For other reasons, I did not see any of that game. And then I saw people talking about it. And I was like, oh, something weird must have happened. And then I went and found the play. And it is...
Did something weird happen?
I don't... Usually, I am so online that, like, I am caught up when a weird thing happens. And I either see it happen because everybody's like, hey, this game's in overtime. Go watch it. Or people are like, oh, my God, look at this. But not seeing it until several hours after the fact is really... it's really pretty special.
You have time to let it set.
It's like walking into a grocery store aisle and you'd be like, wow, there's a lot of blood here. I do not know what happened here, but it must have been very fun.
Someone clean this up.
When you see like 10 straight deleted replies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
a great battle was fought here.
Yeah. Or when you... I will do this. I have so many people muted at this point that occasionally I'll see like one... Right, like a response. I'll be like one
a beacon in the wilderness.
Yeah, and then like 4,000.
Who goes
there? What the fuck happened here? Good God! It's like if you open the last email in a 49 email chain, and it's like, well, yeah, I never loved you anyway. And you're like, this is a company email.
Spencer, next door, you need to calm down.
Have you ever opened an email in a chain, Spencer?
Yeah, no, but this is why I don't. This is theoretical. I usually just skip to the last one.
Oh, okay. Like it's going to summarize everything.
Yeah, to see if, you know, because I'm going to figure out all of this shit. I don't need to be involved.
You're just going
to
read the first and the last and then just context clues it.
Yeah. But then I realized the same rule applies. If you're the 47th email in a chain, you are the one who replies to the 48-hour-old tweet. So it's generally the person who's like, could you go back and do all this again for me?
If you just watch the last scene of Jurassic Park, it's like...
I gotta start doing that. I'm gonna roll up on a deleted chain and be like, guys, what happened here? Can you fill me in?
Is it muted?
And just demand to be recapped over the entire thing.
Yeah, people do this. It's...
Oh, that's beautiful.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
I am hesitant to pull this out, but... I have a treat for you guys, despite the fact that I think you're all insane. We had an honest-to-God Apple historian call into the show with a recommendation for the ultimate types of shower apples.
Hmm.
And I think we can play it in full. It's long, but he's got a lot to say. Server, would you play 732 from Tom?
Oh, shut down, Fullcast. I cannot believe y'all have veered into one of my weird areas of expertise. This is Tom in North Carolina, by the way. I heard y'all's Apple talk on last week's episode, and I'm in the middle of doing a master's degree that basically focuses entirely on heirloom Apple varieties in the South. I actually was having a conversation with a national-level Apple historian / expert and asked him about shower apples and whether or not he had any opinions on preferable characteristics or varieties for a shower apple. And he said that because of the sort of steamy and heated environment, you're probably going to want something that is a little richer than most apples late season. He actually recommended any number of russeted varieties. So your basic Roxbury russet will do you fine, but if you want something funkier, see if you can go find yourself a knobbed russet. Google a picture of that. It's a fun time. But yeah, if you'd like, I have a first team offense that I've developed of all Southern apple variety names that sound like college football players. Sneak peek, the quarterback is named Cannon Pearmaine. And I would also like to mention, I was trying to think of the most college football apple I could find, and the Red Delicious apple, the much maligned Red Delicious apple that we know today, was actually essentially bred from a number of mutations from an heirloom variety from Iowa in the 1800s called Hawkeye. And so, in a way, if you think about, you know, early success, slowly festering and devolving into mediocrity over the years, I propose that we call the Red Delicious the Ference apple going forward. Love the show. Thank you.
That's incredible.
Tom, please call us back. I need to know all these apple names. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Best voicemail ever.
Also, Tom, will you please come on Hand in the Dirt as a guest?
Yeah.
email us at hitdpod@gmail.com.
MVP.
What a fucking flagrant rebranding effort that was. Oh, well, just call the apple delicious.
This is like, what's the most American thing you can be? It was like, we made the shittiest apple in the world and we marketed it as Red Delicious.
I guess someone else should have called theirs Delicious first.
Well, the first thing they said was true, so the second one must be as well. The only thing more American would be if the apple itself wasn't fucking red.
You're just looking at this red apple and you're like, no lies detected so
just
far.
Just containing 50% truth. That's it. Delicious, are they? You're like, well, they're red.
Diesel Delicious.
Gaslit into believing the green apple is red.
They should have just called, them red apples. Red apples!
Come get them! Spencer,
that's how drinks work.
I do think you could
do the P.T. Barnum thing and be like, guaranteed not to turn pink.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, they didn't.
Spencer, I do think you could start a very successful TikTok side career as just guy who tries food in shower and rates it. I think you could pull that off.
Okay, we'll do that. Like, no, I'll go do that tonight. That'll happen.
Shower food guy.
Kimchi.
Yeah.
7.5.
Yeah.
Y'all want to talk about a humbling experience?
Dropping kimchi in the shower?
No. But regarding TikTok in general,
sure.
I met a neighbor, a new neighbor the other day, and we got to talking. And he is a retired architect and artist, and he said, "Oh, my granddaughter set me up on TikTok to show people my art." And I said, "Oh, that's great." He's like, "Yeah, I got 650,000 followers. Is that a lot?" And I was like, "You mean like views or likes?" And he's like, "No, I'm pretty sure it's followers." And I was like, "Okay, dude, cool." And we stood in the middle of the street talking for like 45 minutes, and I learned the history of a number of buildings. And then I went and I found him on TikTok. Dude, he undersold it. He has like 665,000 followers on TikTok.
Doing what?
He is 90.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Talking about art. That's it. I mean, like, it's a great TikTok account. I'm not selling him short, but like,
I have been watching a lot of art YouTube videos. So
I am so humbled. I am humbled before this man.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah,
that's,
shout out Paul.
That's probably the best use of the remaining good use of the internet is like free docent. Just like, hey, here, I'm a quirky person who's going to tell you about this thing that I know
he's an architect, but he's also an artist. So like pretty much anything about drawing, right? He's just got this, it's mostly about like drawing.
Yeah.
And he had 664,000 followers last I checked.
I follow the same thing. Like sports TikTok is hit or miss. Like some people are very good at it. If you don't follow Richard Jefferson, you really should. Richard Jefferson does amazing things, including he usually stitches, which is where you put your video next to somebody else's video, right? And you react to it. He usually videos that are people who are trying to say nice things about Richard Jefferson, and inevitably they flip it to a clip of Richard Jefferson fucking something up in an NBA game halfway through. Like, hey, Richard, love, great experience as a player. I just want, and he's like, thank you. Yes, that's great. What, you have a question? Sure. And then it's like, what were you thinking when you took this shot? And it's him missing the rim by like 30 feet in an NBA game. And he's like, all right, there's like 30 videos like that. And they're all the same joke. And they're all wonderful.
Great reaction face though. Like it works every time. It's fun.
I don't mean to pile on here, and mm-hmm. I am not the to only whom? Person who said this, but Dan Orlovsky thinks that he is off the
hook. No, we can always pile on to this. It's fine.
Because Jimmy Garoppolo also stepped out of the back of the end zone.
All it did was remind people of Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, and also, like, when you see the two side by side, and I saw a Tennessee fan on Twitter talking about this, and it's like, they're just not the same. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo takes a couple of steps and I think like doesn't even get a whole foot in the back of the end zone. Dan Orlovsky did like a walk, like an Appalachian Trail of the back of the end zone on his
No, dude. He's heading
a family circus journey.
Yeah, he's heading to Oregon as a banker with a
wagon full of supplies.
Yes. He got dysentery 5 steps in. Like
he caught that wagon and carried it across.
And I don't have any particular problem with Dan Orlovsky, but it's just like these are not the same thing.
Oh, I don't either. And also, dude, you should know by now this is not how to make this go away.
I think it might have almost worked if he had tried to bury his own content beneath the butt punt.
Because yeah, that's
a much funnier kind of football own goal.
Yeah,
but he chose a guy doing not quite as funny a version of the thing we already found funny.
Right. And there were already so many, like, Dan Orlovsky did it on the Lions, and it's like, well, of course, it's
inherently
the Lions,
funny,
you know?
Yeah.
But the butt punt, man.
Also, Jimmy Garoppolo's handsome.
Remember, it's only weird if you do it on the Lions. Mm-hmm. It's only weird if you're good. Like, remember the whole thing for Stafford before he won a Super Bowl was, yeah, man, it's weird. He's good on the Lions. Like, is he good?
Yeah, right.
Like, we weren't even able to actually discern whether he was talented or good and have any, like, definitive opinion because he was too competent. Like, Calvin Johnson, yes, people recognize that he was an amazing player at both Georgia Tech and, yes, at Detroit. But even at Detroit, it was like, yeah, it's weird. Calvin's there. He's incredible. That's so fucking weird.
There were people even in the 90s who were like, Barry Sanders, he's a stat compiler.
Correct.
Correct. You're the dumbest person. You are the dumbest person alive if you think that shit. First of all, he survived playing for the Lions. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, real schools of thought, there were people for whom when the Lions signed a massive deal with Scott Mitchell, you're like, who's Scott Mitchell? That's my point exactly.
The guy who hands off to Barry Sanders.
Right, the guy who hands off to Barry Sanders and who was a competent NFL quarterback for several seasons, and they signed Scott Mitchell to a massive deal after his most successful season. There were people who said, finally, we could diversify and get this offense a little more away from stat hog Barry Sanders. There were people who thought that and said that.
There were people, I remember, like, he would, you know, he had a very all-or-nothing aggressive running style. He would lose a yard, and then break 90 yards. And there were people who said, this is hurting the Lions. You can't hurt the Lions?
I mean, the counterpoint.
Man, drag the Lions to the playoffs.
So you could be the Lions where it's confusing when you have outstanding offensive players. Or you could be the Bears and just never have them. Just never at all.
Honest. Very honest.
Do you know how many passing yards Justin Fields has this year?
I do not.
Can 17. I take a shot?
I will tell you right now that Chicago has played 3 games. They're 2-1. How many yards do you think Justin Fields has thrown for total?
3 games?
In those 240. 297.
I wasn't far off, man.
You weren't.
And we know Justin Fields is verified good at football. It's the Bearsness.
Mm-hmm. It's just the Bearsness so creeping powerful. Into his bones.
So
if it gets in his bones, he's
bare
done.
Bones.
He does have bare bones. The bare bones offense.
This is where I am legally required to remind you, and I have to pull it up here real quick. Hold on. The single season passing leader for the Chicago Bears in yards and touchdowns is Eric Kramer in 1995.
That's right. That's when offense peaked. That's when offense peaked. It was 1995.
They had Jay Cutler for like a decade.
Yep. And Jay Cutler in yards is spots 2, 3, 4, and 5. Mitchell Trubisky is spot 6.
This is fucked up.
They have won Super Bowls and they have been to the Super Bowl not that long ago, and so we don't put them in the same category as like these quintessentially doormatty teams, but goddamn, the Bears are a black hole of offense.
They're
which makes them sound better at offense than they
you know
are.
Who's like number
think
five.
About what has happened in passing in the NFL over the last 10 years.
You
and
know
then,
number five all time in Bears passing yards.
Who?
Trubisky.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Like like he's number five on the career list?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Rex Grossman is 14th.
Jim Harbaugh is 3rd.
Oh, dear.
That's true.
Jim Harbaugh.
I just breezed past
you
that one.
Jim Harbaugh is 3rd.
Huh. Well,
Mike Tomczak coming in at 12th.
But at this pace, Justin Fields will need another 30 years to crack this list.
God, that makes it sound like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Just a miserable slog of a franchise at this point. I'm sorry to anybody who's a Bears fan.
I'm not. That's your fault. Fields. That's your fault.
Hey, Ryan, you do actually owe an apology to somebody. Serper, can we play the 404 voicemail from this very angry Georgia fan?
Ryan, please, for Christ's sake, stop trying to jinx Georgia. It's working and it sucks. Thank you.
What is work? Okay. Okay, hold on.
I think he means your child.
Okay, okay.
Hold on.
Because Kent State court scored points?
Is this because I said Georgia was going to win the national championship and Jetson was going to win the Heisman?
Maybe.
Ken, I want to have a word.
You did revel in that.
I would like to have a word, by the way, about...
I thought he meant stop giving birth to children, but that was the Florida jinx. Never mind.
This is. We have a word about this because the idea that a 39-22 game against Kent State constitutes a real source of concern for the Georgia Bulldogs is hilarious because...
They do this every year. It's just usually against Mercer or some shit.
What? Like, they've had their bad game. You go like, oh, they're going to have a bad game.
They have a sleepy brunch game every year.
And this one was against Kent State, who... They just happened to have it against Kent State, who... I don't know if you're familiar with Kent State's whole deal, is that they spend the entire first month of the season taking checks to get wrecked. That's it. Out of their...
Seriously, read off their September schedule.
This is what they opened with
it's
this
disgusting.
Year.
Disgusting.
At Washington, where they got smoked 45-20. At Oklahoma, where they got smoked 33-3. Versus Long Island, they won that 63-10. Fuck you, Long Island. And then they went...
It's not that long.
That's right. They went to Georgia, 39-22. I want you to notice something, by the way. That of all of those teams, the one that they put up the best fight against is the defending national champions in their house. They are 1-3, and Kent State might be the greatest 1-3 team in the nation because they confused and game planned really well. Really, really well for Georgia. Like, all credit to them. And that's got Georgia freaked out because someone else did something smart. This is the Georgia Bulldog. Like, they faced a team that was smart, well-coached, and played competently, and they're terrified.
The Georgia Tech fans I've heard from, they've said, who are we going to hire as head coach, right? And I'm like, you should go hire Deion. That's it. And then you'll have better players than you do. And they say, I don't know. What about this guy who scored on Georgia? That's it. That's all they care about. Is there's a guy who has scored on Georgia, so they should hire him.
Man, y'all love yourselves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia
it seems to be a good coach. Like, if you got Kent State competitive with anyone, mm-hmm. that's great.
As we record this, Georgia has two ranked opponents left on its schedule. And charitably, I could see maybe one more sneaking in here if Mississippi State gets on a streak by the time they play them. What are you worried about? Who is going to provide Georgia its comeuppance? Holly refuses to let it be Tennessee.
I think there's a much better case for Tennessee taking it to Alabama than there is to Georgia.
And then,
why?
And then the other option is Georgia at Kentucky on November 19th.
And
Spencer and I actually gamed this out earlier. Do you want to?
Yeah, my reasoning is this, that because of the way that Georgia is able to attack a defense versus the limitations that Alabama has had against some opponents, not consistently, but at times they've been a short pass offense that hasn't been able to move the ball on the ground. Like, that's happened.
The thing that I would be worried about, this is so far fucking ahead of itself.
Let's go.
Does if you're coaching Bama, does our habit of parking a receiver on either sideline give you pause at this time?
Creating some space out there. They also, like, they just do stuff where I think if Tennessee does that thing where, I don't know, they run off 14 or 21 points at the game, I don't think that's a great position for Alabama. Do I think they could come back? Yeah. Do I think Georgia's going to get down by a couple of scores to Tennessee at any point? No. No, because they have Brock Bowers and they have Darnell Washington, and they can open up the middle of the field, which, if you saw against Florida, the middle of that defense is open all over the place against Tennessee. So
Brock Bowers is disgusting.
In other words, I think the receiving core is, to me, the part that I believe in a little bit more with Georgia than Alabama's receiving core. Not that in 3 weeks they won't be the best in the nation because they just turned it on. That's entirely possible.
Correct.
But based on what I've seen so far.
And since is good by then, but you know,
yeah.
the Florida game is over, so I'm gonna be fine. This is actually all about my feelings.
I don't see how I or we are causing anything for Georgia.
You're not. It's just funny.
Okay.
By the way, can I give you just for shits and giggles? Kent State's 2021 schedule. They went to A&M. This is opening week. To A&M, they got a K cake game against VMI, which again they won 60-10, and then they went to Iowa and to Maryland, games where again they lost all of them, but they kept getting better as they went. Like, this is all Kent State does. They show up to school and they're like, boys, get your mouthpieces in because you're getting punched.
Next year, non-conference road games over the next 3 years: UCF, Arkansas, Fresno State, Pitt, Tennessee State, Penn State, Ohio State.
Good Christ, y'all.
Fuck all of you. Bring it on.
That 2024. Yeah, that 2024.
I can do this all day.
2024, it's at Pitt, at Tennessee, at Penn State.
Jesus,
like Kent State could be kings of Pennsylvania.
Now listen, by the time the playoff expands to 12. Mm-hmm. They got an argument.
They'll be ready.
They get the sheets matrix. They get to put it in their chest. All the schmiskets, all the schmuffin. They belong to the Golden Flashes.
2019, they played Arizona State, Auburn, and Wisconsin. Fucking maniacs.
I want to imagine
the Georgia... spank me daddy of teams. Jesus Christ.
I want to imagine the Georgia Tech fan who has to go to work and listen to a bunch of Georgia fans be like, I don't know, we really didn't show it against Kent State. I just don't know. But it's like, God damn it, I've been watching my team get fucking pummeled for a month, and what now nobody works there.
What I wouldn't give to Georgia win by Tech 17.
Fan, working at Chick-fil-A.
It was good, Holly. It was good.
Yeah, I heard that was nice.
Hey, we got a couple of... You know who I think has skated under the radar since they got beat by Florida? Because everything...
USF.
Florida. We have a couple of voicemails here that I would like to play back-to-back that I think really... the Utah fan base is just having a beautiful year. And I would just like to celebrate that between the exposed breasts and the nuclear threat... can we play?
It's like a James Bond film.
This
sounds like a Fallout mod.
We got a couple of voicemails that came in within like an hour of each other that are both celebrating different aspects of this, and I would like to play this. Can we hear from 435? They didn't give their name, but they're calling from Salt Lake.
Hey, calling from Salt Lake City. Just wanted to set the stage really quick. Environmentally, here in Utah, we're in the midst of one of the worst droughts ever. So that's the stage. A couple of weeks ago, you might remember, there were some boobies that were shown at a University of Utah game. And now I'm not sure if it was coincidence, but over the last couple of weeks, it's been rainier than almost ever. High school statistics tell me correlation does not imply causation, but maybe it does. Anyways, keep up the good work.
Correlation is causation on this show. Those young women pleased the land and brought the rains.
Does the nuclear threat tie in, or is that the red herring?
The next one. It's 801 Ian from Lehigh.
Hey, y'all. This is Ian from Lehigh, Utah. Lehigh, not like Pennsylvania, but Lehigh as in like the Mormon prophet. Anyways, I just wanted to say I've never been more proud of my Utes than when one of our fans threatened literal fucking nuclear holocaust if we lost to San Diego State. Besides being objectively better at football than like half the conference, I don't know how else we could better our application to the Big Ten, because truly only a leader and a legend would threaten to destroy a mid-sized city if a team didn't win. I was a former nuclear researcher at the U, and like people freaked out too much over it. It's fine. Right. Like
okay,
we had
good.
A couple guys that look over the reactor. It's run by grad students. That nothing bad ever happens when grad students do
protector.
Stuff. It's small. I mean, it's still big enough that like it would like kill about a million people if it exploded. But like, it's not. It's not that big.
Well, that's why you're not getting into the Big Ten.
You know, like, I just feel like people should calm down a little bit over that. But anyways, love what you guys do. Have a great one. Bye.
TV networks.
Sorry, I'm never going to pass up the calm down about the threat of nuclear holocaust. I'm never going to pass this one up.
Did you hear the in all that braggadocio, deserved and earned, there was the unmistakable note of Utah humility? Better than about half the Big Ten, buddy. you're better than almost all of the Big Ten. You can say it.
I would like to think he was displaying mid rates so as to better acclimate to the Utes' new home as kings of the Big Ten.
It's like Ohio State, Minnesota, Utah, in my opinion.
Could we, you know how Maryland is still in the universe of this show?
Yes.
Could we just put Utah in the Big Ten ourselves? Like, I've just decided that they're there.
I'm going to try, can I, I'm going to trial run.
Okay.
Like, can we invite them for this week and see how it feels?
You said trial run and you made a motion like you're putting on a jacket.
I'm trying on a jacket.
My very known and famous Utah in the Big Ten coat.
So this is like Dagobah and you're going to carry, wait, that makes you.
This is college football. And if you're an important official, you have a colored jacket, right?
That's
you have
true.
A themed jacket. So I'm putting on my themed Big Ten Invitational Committee jacket, which has giant shoulders because it's the Big Ten jacket. And I'm putting it on, and we're just going to feel it out.
Okay. The Letterman's jacket with lots of, like, debate club patches and shit.
That's right.
Do you think there was a fight over whether it should be jackets? Do you think somebody was like, I think cummerbunds. I think we should have colored cummerbunds to indicate we work for the Fiesta Bowl.
I want to know who argued for pants. Tasteful yellow linen slacks.
So, just a little side story. We're talking about appropriate clothing and with people arguing about this. We did an interview with Reese Davis yesterday, and Reese is on.
Where can we see this interview?
He's using Thinking Out Loud every Monday, 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. Mm. We're interviewing him, and he's on remote, so he's talking into a camera on this app, okay? And we can see him. And he starts talking about, my Instagram, I did this thing where we're talking about, like sort of upping the standard for what you wear in public. Because I think people have given up on that. And Richard and I kind of look at each other and I look at Reese and I was like, Reese, can you see us? And Reese goes, no, actually, I'm on this program. I can't see you guys. And I'm like, good. That's good. Keep going.
I thought that last night's show was like the best shirt that Richard's ever worn. That was a great one. He should repeat that one.
No,
my favorite
the pink and black floral. That was a good one.
Yeah.
My favorite version of this fight, if giving it away, is people who get mad that you won't dress up to get on the airplane.
Oh my Christ. Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, the airplane fucking sucks now.
Stop
like,
asking me to class up the flying bus.
Why would
Stop.
I have to put on wool? Why would I want to put on wool pants to squeeze into a window seat and get no snacks? Like, I get dressed up for a wedding and I get booze and I get to dance and it's sometimes at a nice place and there's food. None of those things are true on an airplane.
If I heard on the Orient Express, I'll dress up.
Ryan, I heard you say you get booze, and first I thought you say you get booed.
Ryan boarding a plane.
Man, any conversation about clothes that involves the word should, you should dress like this, mm-hmm. I'm not listening. You like talking, and that's cool, but I'm not listening.
If you are a river rafting guide, a mountain climber, if it's like, hey, you should wear closed-toed shoes so your toe doesn't break off, that's fine.
Sure, sure.
But, like, you should look nice on the airplane where everyone will be mean to you and it will be too hot.
Yeah.
And you'll try to watch John Wick on your seat back, but it won't work.
You should look really great for the 3 hours of your day that are the worst and that no one is looking at you.
That's the best part. Nobody's looking at anybody else on the plane.
The person 1 inch to your right and 1 inch to your left, they aren't looking at you.
Nobody gets up and looks at you and is like, well, I guess we're not taking a group picture now. Like, everybody else looks nice except Ryan.
What are the only things you get judged for on a plane? They're going to be like, man, you know
farting?
What? That guy who farted in his sleep looks great in his suit.
I will put in one. I will side with this on one thing. Do you have your shoes on?
Sure, but that to me is less about how you dress and are you dressed.
Right.
Those are very different questions.
I will accept the argument of everyone who takes their shoes off on a plane should be in jail. They should.
Plane is jail. So problem solved. Already done.
Yeah.
What are you gonna lock me in the even worse plane?
What are you gonna do that's worse than jail with biscotti? Which biscotti?
I am already detained. What more can they do to me?
You know what we need to do? This would be kind of unwieldy, but is there some way to transport this entire class of pundits over to, like, brand new taxpayer-funded stadiums Like, Jerry Jones put a lot of work into this stadium, and he deserves more than to see you roll up with your sweatpants that have the Cowboys star right over your scrotum.
Yes, yes. Men shouldn't wear shorts to NFL games.
Because it's a business trip.
The team came here in suits.
Why can't you? Where's your where are your Beats headphones and suitcase?
Yeah, the next level of super fan.
These are the only social events that we have anymore. Why not turn these into the ballrooms? If I don't see, if you're not wearing a fucking Empress Josephine ruff, I'm not getting up to let you pass me with your nacho tray.
It has always been so weird. Like, that was the weirdest part about the entire Mark D'Antonio era at Michigan State, was that he was like, you gotta,
they suspended Carter for not wearing a tie.
Yeah, you gotta wear a tie.
I forget who it was. It was a lineman, but like very early on in his administration, he suspended a starter who did not wear a fucking tie.
Like, if we wanted a esprit de corps,
that's a lineman. You don't really wear a tie.
Sitting through a Jets 12-9 loss and being like, Jesus, I got my tux dry cleaned for this.
I wrinkled my best taffeta. Fuck you, Cleveland.
Why did I wear my opera slippers? Fuck you.
I'm rolling up to Rutgers, Iowa, in an overcoat.
I think we'd have because of how many dress shoes would stick to the floor in a given stadium.
I like Holly's suggestion. I think this should be NFL only. That also fits like the NFL's, like, this is the shield, you know? Like, yeah.
If you want to play the national anthem, everybody has to be in formal wear.
We also need to, I think, export this to the NFL, because, like, wearing a suit and sunglasses to the game just so you can take pictures of yourself, that's already Ole Miss. So we already have that.
This is also the only sport I can think of where a coach tried to dress nicely. Mike Nolan tried to dress nicely for the 49ers, and the league was like, put on this baggy hoodie, you piece of shit. You're not better than us.
They made him wear a Reebok-branded suit. With a gigantic Niners logo on it, like he was broadcasting for ABC Wild World of Sports.
Yeah. Put on this branded rain jacket, you fucking piece of shit.
There's something in football brand that's like, you need a special jacket for a special job.
I don't want your pants.
Bill Belichick looks like a dirtbag, so why don't you?
I want to see the players' butts, not yours.
Me petitioning again to make every football coach wear the football uniform like a baseball manager.
Baseball can be played in suits.
It should be. I think that'd be more popular.
If they're going to keep interrupting my Wake Forest games to make me watch it, I better see people looking nice.
I think,
my God, Ryan, do you know what we've just invented?
What?
The Mets ball.
What are you wearing? I got a.
No, it's who are you wearing?
I got some Russell Athletic.
This is Russell.
They're a little
champion.
Stained.
Yeah.
It's the
who am I wearing? Daryl Strawberry, of course.
This is an original Stussy.
That's a dumb question. Who else would I be wearing?
Is that how you say that?
I have no idea.
Stussy. I think it's Stussy, but I've also heard Stussy, and I don't like Stussy, so I'm going with Stussy.
It was definitely always Stussy.
It's got an umlaut.
That's the only thing I've
I think
ever
that's
heard.
The first time I've ever said that out loud.
Stussy? Right?
Yeah. Stussy. It sounds so wrong. I'm really regretting saying
it's
it.
It's not a good way to say it.
No, it is really not. But I've never considered
this. It was.
I hope I know that there's a significant on either side of the age group here. There's some portion of the listener that's like, "What the fuck are they talking about right now?"
Try it in Bill's accent from True Blood.
Google says Stussy.
Stussy.
And the recommended question on Google is it pronounced Stussy or Stussy? Thank you, Google. But the answer is again Stussy.
The Mets gala.
This is why I'm not worried about Skynet. We have, like, the AIs have been so polluted with our dumb shit questions that they can't focus long enough to destroy humanity.
Too stupid.
Stop
to
asking
destroy
me to
the
type
world.
Movie's number.
Siri, I need to know. Siri, tell me.
T-800. What does YAGA stand for?
What does what stand for?
God, that's what's
No, I mean it. I didn't hear him. Okay.
YAGA. That was another terrible t-shirt brand of the same ilk. That might have been Florida only.
No, it was Florida. Yeah, Florida had all of those brands. If Florida had a brand you weren't really sure how to pronounce, and it was on usually on
I was
the back.
Like, Baba Yaga has a beachwear line. This is incredible.
He is fearsome and attractive.
How many princes have you slain today, Tiffany? No.
Why can't we
Baba
get a
Yaga athleisure would be fantastic.
Why can't we get a college football program sponsored by No Fear? That's what I want to know.
I mean, that's basically Ole Miss. Did you see those Realtree helmets?
I did.
Yeah.
That's stealing Mississippi State valor. Y'all can't. No.
I'm stealing Arkansas State valor.
They asked this on TOL last night. How did Ole Miss get the Realtree deal over state?
Yeah.
Oh, that's some my dad knows your dad shit.
Yeah, my dad owns Realtree. Yeah. That's bullshit.
It's incredibly mean-spirited, though.
Y'all don't go outside.
Actually, I believe that is
the deal. Yes, we do. That's where we eat chicken fingers.
To go outside.
No, that is the deal. Because remember, Ole Miss was at the College World Series, and one of the guys who bought like a shitload of Jello shots was the Realtree exec.
I thought it was the Ducks Unlimited guy.
Yeah, it was one of those guys, but like they were all there, right?
Hey, I have a grooming voicemail. 512 Meredith.
The Realtree CEO and founder played wide receiver for the Rebels in the early 1970s.
It's an inside job.
His name was Bill Jordan.
It's like heisted valor.
Oh, garbage.
Fake tree.
Can we start a cheaper brand called Fake Tree? Is this our business idea this week? Fake tree.
We can put it on production as soon as because I've silently also invented the Empress Josephine Ruff that has nachos in it.
Yeah.
Like a feed bag.
So drinking some Chad toxic masculinity fuel in a tree stand wearing some fake tree.
People, we got more angry messages about the toxic masculinity energy drink. Y'all need to shut up and drink some toxic masculinity.
You know what it sounds like you need?
It's a market is what we got.
Hey, y'all. Meredith here, Mizzou grad. Don't want to talk about it. If you want to say, my mom lives in Stillwater, and she saw Gundy at the Walmart a couple days ago, and she says his hair is real flat in person. Or maybe it's just that day. I don't know. Flat hair Gundy. Happened.
Damn.
She's calling Mike Gundy's hair a false flag.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's that man's claim to fame, too.
Mm-hmm.
He does. It does look like he uses a lot of product in it.
Oh no! I think it's just. I think it attenuates to his mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's probably feeling pretty low.
That's how you know he's not in heat.
Thank you for that horrifying visual.
We're ending the show there not because there's nothing left to say, but because I don't want to go on living.
Never touch a Mike Gundy's ovipositor. Never.
Mike Gundy's only do this when they're very stressed.
When he's very stressed.
They only do this when they're very horny, I think, is where that's going. Speaking of guys who just hand off to Barry Sanders all day. But that's neither here nor there. Although that would probably arouse me a little, watching him do his highlights down the field and thinking, I played a part in this.
God, he's fast.
I'm responsible for this, if you think about it.
Without me, you're nothing.
You would have been standing there all day.
I made you.
Like an asshole.
What are you going to do, catch the snap yourself?
What? What? Ah, fuck.
There's only one set of footprints because I handed the ball to him.
I am the one who snaps translates snaps into Barry Sanders.
I am the alchemist.
Without me, he looks at the snap and says, "What is that? What is that?"
Just sits on the ground, useless.
This is a great Mike Gundy voice, and we should do it forever.
It's sinister vampire or something. Mike Gundy.
Gundy Olivier.
I'm horny.
you've turned him into a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character.
Maybe he was already halfway there on his own.
I think that's
okay. One more voicemail.
Hi, this is Holden from Nebraska. Hail Ra. So I'm sure that you've been hearing about all of the people here in Nebraska wanting Urban Meyer as head coach. I personally don't, but I've been trying to figure out a way to rationalize it for myself if we do end up making him the head coach. And here's what I found. He's quit two jobs because they've almost killed him. And Nebraska plays so shittily, there is a greater than 0% chance that he might actually die trying to coach us. And, you know, I think that's just going to be a benefit for everyone. So I really, I might be pulling for it right now.